Did we stand in awe of your mercies? Father, as I stand here today, Lord, under covering myself, spiritual appearance, Lord, I humble myself, Lord Almighty. And I pray, Father, that Lord, you will help us today to experience, Lord, have a new experience with you, a new knowledge, Lord, of you, transposing us even to a new dimension, a new walk, a new journey of favor with you. That, Lord God, you will mold us, you will make us and use us for your glory in this end time, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I continue to also look to you for mercy, to be a faithful steward of the word. Lord, help me to bring out the treasure of God, both things new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus Christ. As your word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, causing our wills to become more humble today, causing our minds to further enlighten by revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm trusting you for grace, Lord, to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary, to cause praise and glory to go to your name, and blessings unto us, the sons of men, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm trusting you. Help me, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Well, we are in our book, and the Bible now for some time, book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's why we stopped last time. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. We spoke and spent quite some time there. Let's just read for a brief cap, and I'll explain the things that we said, just to bring to our remembrance what we shared last time. See, now, the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times, some, not all, say some, shall depart from the faith. How would they depart? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Those two things, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Next verse. Help me, Lord. Speaking what? Lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the altar. Next verse. Forbidding what? To marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. In our last lesson, we were talking about, the Bible says, put it back in verse 1, I just continue to talk. It said that in this end time, the Spirit of God said that through Paul said, many would pass, some would depart from the faith. And he gave reason why. And in our last lesson, I mentioned talking about Paul and his spiritual son, Demas. But he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved his present world. You see, they all started together. You see, but I went to check when I was just studying again. The name meaning of Demas. Demas, his name in Greek means popular. Popular. You see, popularity. You see, we are not in this thing for being popular. Even though I still go to get popular when science and others begin to operate. So he said, you see, he could not get that popularity under Paul. So he had to leave. He said, having loved this present world. I wonder what the world is. Lots of flesh, lots of eyes, and pride of life. You see, you're either seeking to be popular or to be popular. You see, when Demas saw them beat Paul, you see, poplars are what God sets before people. If you remember Jacob, that story, Bible says that he set those poplars before the animals when they came to drink. And when they came to drink, he said they did something particular to those poplars. He said they stripped them. You see, you can't stand before God's people who have not been stripped. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a choice to make in this day as you are following leadership. Either to be a popular, to be set for people, or to be popular. If you dare to be popular, then you are going to end up forsaking those guys God has set under us. But that would not be a portion of Jesus' name. So let's move on. It says that seducing spirits that preach doctrines of devils. And I'm just briefly summarizing this. These seducing spirits that produce doctrines of devils, preached by, for example, Apostle Aristotle, the store leadership, they counterfeit and distort God's purpose for his church. You see, a demon will not come down and teach in church. Nobody will go to that church. But they operate like pastors, through leadership that have, like Saul, rather. I follow me. They have given their hearts as a potter for Satan to use. Satan just comes in and then they begin to do lying signs and wonders, which is very prevalent in the church of God today. Praise the Lord. And it says that they speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What are we saying? If you notice in Acts chapter 20, Paul had warned the Ephesian church. He said, by the time I depart, he said, grievous wolves are going to come in. I go to seek to bring disciples after themselves. And the exact thing happened in this church. So unfortunate. And the same thing is happening again in the body of Christ today. You see men of God doing all kinds of stuff they shouldn't do. Why? Because they have given their hearts over to Satan. I follow either willfully or ignorantly. Witchcraft. Passive witchcraft. And it's very rampant in the church. And not just Christ himself warned us. Mark chapter 13, verse 22. Just like I said, he talks about the end time. You see, why it is very important for us to talk about this? Because we are in the end time. And it says, in the last time, people shall depart. So say, in the last time, people shall depart. So Lord Christ himself, he said, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show what? Signs and wonders to what? Seduce. Seducing spirits. If it were possible, even the elect, are genuinely born again Christians, they will seduce them towards lying signs and wonders. Deuteronomy 13 says that, look, if somebody comes to you in the name of a prophet and he says that, look, gives you a sign and a wonder, and a thing comes to pass, and it takes away from God, he said God is trying to check, it's another thing, he says, trying to check out your heart, whether you love him or not. Deuteronomy 13. Are you following me? That's why I say in the book of Revelation, says the same thing. He said, that woman Jezebel that taught my people to commit fornication and to do what? And to eat things offered to idols. You see, in those days, they used to kill animals and sacrifice to whatever. But see, today, it is covetousness. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. You see, Colossians says that it is idolatry. Covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Always have at the back of my mind when you're talking about idolatry. Don't think about people bowing down to some go. No. It is covetousness. Yeah, because it's the New Testament, like Pastor taught us, idolatry. So we need to be very, very careful because it's very rampant today in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. So what I was saying, he says that they speak lies in hypocrisy. That is, they preach and they don't do. Lord God said something about the Pharisees. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In Matthew 16, he says it's the doctrine of the Pharisees. In Luke 12, he says what? He says the leaven of it, which is what? Hypocrisy. He says they speak lies in hypocrisy. How do they speak lies in hypocrisy? You see, they say and they don't do. Anytime you lie against the truth, I follow me, you have denied the truth. They say that perfection is not possible. It is not possible for you to be like Christ in this lifetime. So they lie against the truth. The truth is that it is possible to be perfect. So they come and say, don't mind them, but it is not possible to be perfect. So they have lied against the truth. Praise the Lord. So you see examples of that in Matthew 23:23. They omit the weightier matters of the law. I don't have time to turn there. They will just omit it. They will just talk about the blessings. They will not talk about the conditions to get those blessings. Praise the Lord. So I put it here. I said, finally, the conscience of these people are seared with the hot iron because they did not hold what? The mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. If you notice, say that many will depart from the faith. Let's get that right in verse 1. Say, many shall depart from the faith. What faith? He's not talking about the general faith now. That is part of it. But if we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, when we're talking about the conditions for being a deacon, which applies to a pastor, which also applies to every born-again Christian. It says that holding the mystery of the faith, I follow me, in a pure conscience. You can see that conscience again. So not talking about just getting born again. The mystery Paul is talking about here, it came from verse chapter 3. Come into verse 4. He said, we depart from faith. He's talking about this mystery of faith, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. In verse 16, he says that great is what? The mystery of godliness. And God was the one what manifested in the flesh. That is the mystery. That is the faith we must not depart from. That is the faith that Paul is talking about that people are going to depart from. So not that denying our faith that people are not coming to church again. No, you see, they have departed. Even they are still holding services. To depart, look, Saul was reigning, and God said to Samuel, he said, he grieves me, I've made Saul king. Why? Because he had departed from me. Yet he ruled for 40 years. The fact that they are standing and are still preaching and miracles are occurring does not mean I have not departed. Saul still won battles, yet he had departed. So it's a question of time. He's on his way to Mount Gilboa. Let's keep on. Half the Lord is me. So, and verse 3, let's read verse 3 again. It says, Paul now begins to talk about the doctrines of devil. How, you see, if Paul didn't say, forbid you to marry, his doctrine of devil would say, ah, no. Maybe it's just more conscience because don't want anyone to marry. No! He said it there. He said that seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And now begin to give examples of doctrines of devil in his own time. Say, forbid you to marry. Say, forbid you to marry. And the second dimension is they are command to abstain from meat which God has created to be taken with thanksgiving. Doctrines of devils. We spent a lot of time the other time talking about this forbidding to marry. I don't want to talk about it again. All this gay LGBT is the doctrine of the devil. It is Satan that is behind it. Do not be deceived. There's no gene that is behind the gay gene. It's a sin nature. Get rid of it. Strange flesh, the Bible calls it. After, so, examples of doctrine of devil in our time. I put some down. Now begin to understand. It calls forbidden to my doctrine of the devil. Abstaining from eating certain means doctrine of the devil. Now what are doctrine of the devil in our present day? One, it is not possible to be perfect in this life and carry the same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is contrary to Corinthians chapter 1 verse 27. Christ in you, what? Is the hope of glory. John chapter 14 verse 12. Very, very, I say unto you, the works that I do, you shall do and greater. Contrary to John. Luke says that it is enough for a servant to be perfect, even as his master is perfect. So anything that is contrary to you believing that you can be like the Lord Jesus Christ and carry his glory in this lifetime is the doctrine of the devil. Amen. You're looking like me. If he can talk about forbidden to marry, in the natural, if you don't know, if they didn't tell you, say maybe they just don't want to marry, it's just a one if so, or okay, just but I said it's doctrine of the devil at that time. So the second one I put here is this, because of time. You know, I put the scripture behind it. I don't mention scripture. No, I don't know. Those are watching for the first time. You know, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 14. No, 2 chapter 2 verse 14. It says that wherein he had called you to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it did not say the glory of Paul. It mentions this specifically. These are scriptures you look at every day. So the Lord Jesus Christ will say, let the saints sink in your ears. Let it enter. So the next one I put there, I said that they preach that all born again Christians will be raptured irrespective of what they do and how they live, which is contrary to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 23. Paul said every man in his own order. You're looking at me, you better get serious. Every man in his own order. He said, look, he said, do you think I'm crazy? He said that one star different from another star in glory. Luke chapter 20, what is it, 21, 36 says, he said, watch and pray always, not sometimes. That you be accounted worthy to escape. It means that if you do not watch and pray always, you will not be accounted worthy to escape. The master said it too. And it does not lie. Recently, I see pastor use his phone all the time. He would just put the thing. He didn't go going no seconds. I don't understand. I said, I guess that maybe the man is timing himself. So I set my phone every hour. So I put it in my pocket. When he beeps like this, I pray. I just pray. That is the only way you're going to be sure you're doing it. You can be presumptuous. No, three hours can pass. You think they've just prayed 5 minutes ago. No. Be sure, my brother. Make sure you time yourself. That's what all this knowledge is for. Time it. Set your alarm. So that you are sure that you are doing it. Don't just assume that you are doing it. It doesn't happen by assumption or by wishing. Make sure you are doing it. That's what I'm trying to say. You see, Revelation chapter 12. I don't have time to turn there. You know, then the third one I put here is that the overemphasis of the prosperity message that uses wealth as a means of approval of God, supposing that gain is godliness. That is, they measure their being godly by the amount of money they have. Unfortunately, none of them are even as rich as Bill Gates. Yeah, so. This is so they must say, supposing that gain is godliness. Talk about in Revelation chapter 3. God rebukes them. 3, in the Laodicean church. He said, you are rich, except for you are poor, wretched, and miserable. No, they were rich. They thought that prosperity they had was what? That they are making them godly. They must have been laughing at the Philadelphian church and say, look at you have a little strength. Look, you have many branches. Let's move on, for God's sake. So what are we saying? Let's open to help me. So what is the effect of these doctrines on the body of Christ? We need to know the reason why. Satan are just, it's like rat poison. It's just a little. You know, when you want to kill something, a rat, you know what rat poison is here in Nigeria? You don't have to, the rat poison, the rat or the bait is always far, far bigger than the poison. So they introduce this little drunkenness. Just remove this. You don't have to be perfect. All you need to do is just get born again, down, go to heaven. Then you eat it. They start troubling your tummy. He said, don't worry, you don't have to do all this. Well, I don't have to fast and pray. All you need to do is just come to church, give offering to me, and then you are guaranteed of the rapture. Don't worry, it can happen the next day. If they tell the rapture is going to happen the next day, you that you don't give, won't you give? You think where they are going to? Of course, yeah, it's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, you start behaving yourself. You could go and pack your stuff. Pastor, please, I've got to give everything now. You see, my motivation is wrong. So it says, what is the effect of these doctrines of devils? It delays the purpose of God by hindering manifestation of the perfect church and the discipleship of the nations so that the age cannot close. Satan does not want this age to close. So he will do everything to delay, called delay tactics. Unfortunately, some of our pastors don't know. The second point is this. He removes the personal motivation for purity, righteousness, and spiritual excellence. Why? Look, if children, you're having exams. If tonight they tell you that you can't meet the exams, don't worry, whatever you do, either you answer the question or you don't answer the question, they give you a star. Are you going to read? Are you being forced to read now? That's what Satan is doing. So I'm not going to dawal them. Because I told them a lie. Doesn't matter what you do. So personal motivation, fasting, praying, it's all gone. Somebody said, purify himself, even as he is pure. But Bob is not there. She cannot. Nobody will fast. Who will come for all night? And the hope they're going to get to die by the grace of God. So what am I saying? He said, even this life only we have hope, we have all men most miserable. Verse 4. Let's now start for today. Verse 4. Help me. Verse 4. Let's go. For every creature of God is what? Good. And nothing to be refused. If it be received with what? Thanksgiving. Verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm grateful. Thank you. For it is what? Sanctified by the word of God and prayer. See, every creature of God is good. Paul was pick the thought, I believe, from in Genesis chapter 1. When God created everything, he said this was good. 31, he said, and he saw that everything was good. So nothing should be just to be received with thanksgiving. I'm just mentioning, how do you do that? You see, it is the word and prayer that sanctifies. But it says, sanctify them by their truth, and their word is that word is truth. Even the same thing applies to marriage. You can connect. He was talking about forbid to marry. When, I think it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. It says that he may sanctify the body by the word and prayer. So the same way you sanctify your food with word and prayer and thanksgiving, you also sanctify your wife or your husband. It's the same prayer that sanctifies. So you receive that food with thanksgiving. So you're not bound to not to eat this. If you decide to eat pork, sanctify it with what? Thanksgiving and prayer. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. So Paul now begins with some lessons. He says, if thou put them, the brethren, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be what? A God, good minister. That means if you don't tell people, you are a bad minister. You are omitting the word of God. You know, you will see why. Say, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That means they are bad ministers. Nourished up in the words of faith, of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. What is Paul trying to tell us here, for God's sake? I put it down because of time. A good minister will teach his congregation all that he has been talking about from verse 1 to 6. Why? About seducing spirits, beware of doctrines of devils, blah, 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 blah. So that the flock under him will not be swept away by the end time deception. You see, it's not because we don't have something to do that we're shouting every day or want you to come to church. No, there is the devil out there. You know, in Revelation, it says something. It says that, you know, I know where Satan sits. Talking to the church, oh, born again. Not the job alone. What are we saying? It says that the spirit of Babylon and our sorceries. Revelation chapter 18, verse 19 first. Revelation 18, 19. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that hardships in the sea by reason of their accursedness. For say, in one hour, is she made desolate. God is going to judge that soul system. He's going to judge it all. We're not saying to make us afraid. But whereby saying the same reason why God said in the Revelation, say, come out from among them. So God is, he said, come out. So don't partake of her. You see, you can be sitting here and be there. Depending on the kind of message you are listening to or that you feed upon. You know, you can be in your house and not eat your father's or your mom's food. Then go to one bucateria. We're going to spend money, Mr. Biggs. You are in the house, but you are not in the house. You are going on the wrong diet. Yet you will come in and, good morning, sir. You can be walking there and not feeding there. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Verse, help me, Lord Jesus. Verse, where were we? Verse 23. Just touch it and go. Say, go to make the house desolate, empty. And he cried mightily. Say, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all. Indeed, and the voice of a bridegroom. I don't want to go there. You know what bridegroom is? You know, and the bride shall be heard no more at all indeed. For thy merchandise were the merchandise of great men. Blah, blah, blah. For all the nations were by thy sorceries. By their what? Sorceries. Were all the nations deceived. Witchcraft. Pastor was mentioned, I think it was on Wednesday. All nations, including church, have been deceived by Babylon. You see, there are some times you don't pray again. Bible says, there was time that the temple was filled with the glory of God. I said, no man could enter. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Amplified says that let him bear the consequences. Hosea chapter 4:17. With Amplified, that scripture says, let him bear the consequences. So just leave him. Let him alone. Amplified said, let him, he will bear his consequences. Can you see? Ephraim is joined fast to idols. So let him alone to take what? The consequences. Hosea chapter 5 verse 9. It says that 5 now say Ephraim shall be what? Desolate in the day of rebuke among the tribes of Israel. So not all Israel that God will judge. Have I made known that it shall surely be, it shall surely come to pass. Don't make enemies. It says it shall surely come to pass. So I've made known what I'm going to do. That's why in the day of rebuke, you know why they're going to rebuke them publicly? Bible says that make sure you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. So since they do not keep the commandment without spot, use the blood, water, and spirit, the Lord is going to rebuke them. Balaam is an example. He said the dumb bastard will rebuke the mad prophet. I mean, you're looking to see us. Why jam microphone, but I don't want. Don't want to be too serious. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Verse 7. Father, please forgive me. Say, but refuse. Profane. Say, profane. And old wives' fables. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Say, refuse. Profane. And old wives' fables. Say, you should refuse two things. Profane. And old wives' fables. So as you refuse it, once you refuse, you have to choose something. He said, now exercise yourself unto godliness. Briefly, exercise yourself to godliness is practicing walking in love. So, but let's look at this word profane. And when you hear the word profane, you remind somebody that the Bible calls profane Esau. It's what does it mean to be profane? Treating sacred things with contempt, disrespect, irreverence, and scorn. Profane. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Lest there be any, let's read together. Lest there be any fornicator or what? Profane person. And I say, as Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. Who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright? Verse 17. Thank you, Jesus. Lest, verse 17. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance. Though he sought it carefully with tears. Brethren, this is time to begin to cry. Not when the spirit of blessing measure has been released. When the thing has been done, it may be too late. Not everybody, some people come back like Pastor Sotos. But why do you want to hang on? Maybe it's about to chill and I'll come back quickly. What if you don't come back? Muscle of meat. I put it here. Putting the rewards of physical gratification or secular reward above spiritual things and his reward. We need to make it very simple. Muzzle of meat in our own present day context means putting the rewards of physical gratification or secular reward above spiritual things and his reward. Everything has its own reward. Spiritual things, you see, when you have to make a choice. In accounts, they say the opportunity cost is cost of mortality forgone. Say, count the cost. So when you have a choice to make, I don't want to give examples because of time. When you have a choice to make between either coming to pray or just tarrying in Jerusalem like David, you better make the right choice. I think that's very simple. When you have choices to make, you want to pick a job, and this job is draining you spiritually and physically, you have made the wrong choice. You have made the right choice. Once you do that, you have chosen, you have mortgaged your destiny for a muzzle of potato. You see, in that time it was asaro that a man cooked. But now it's not asaro. The devil has upgraded. He's not using Sergeant phone. He's using iPhone 7 or whatever, 8. He's not using... We've been preaching this father preach for many years. Can you sit down here now? And then you are tired, you've cooked your meal. And he lets even say, it's Mr. Biggs of tantalizers, you have it with you. And he says, sell your birthright for me, for this pack of whatever. You're not going to do it. No. It's when you give up spiritual things to get the reward of physical things that you've taken that muscle. That if you looked at it eyeball to eyeball, God shows you, I want you to spend more time praying. Leave what you are doing now. Go and do this thing. I say, no. Between you and God, nobody knew. And you left that thing. And you now went and took something else. You bring your car to church, they pray over it. You dedicated the house, they pray over it. But nobody knew. But you and God knew. That was the guy that Pastor gave us. He was going for his postgraduate. God told him, pack your things and come to Nigeria. Between him and God. He could have kept quiet. He could have kept quiet. Thank God he obeyed. That's why you and I are here today. But how many people have not obeyed? Let's just move on because of time. So, it says that old wives' fables are myths, tales, superstition, a product of man's emotion and imagination. I just took that one simply from the dictionary. Let's move on. And I give the example of Athens. Paul said they were too superstitious. There are many churches that are too superstitious. It's story. Fables. One thing to say or the other. Do they even have the unknown God that they worship in present day church? Hello, Akpabi. You know, say hello, hello. Then come, we dance again around the golden calf. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I said, exercise yourself unto godliness. Go back, say that. Let's read again so I can get our train of thought back. Say, but refuse, profane, and all wives' tables, and do what? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. God likeness, which is done by walking in love. Please amplify it. Verse 7. Please put in amplified. Help me, Holy Spirit, redeem the time. But refuse and avoid irreverent legends, blah 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 blah. Says that train yourself. Train yourself. Nobody's going to train you. Train yourself towards godliness. It takes training to be godly. Like, what I mean, you have to practice. Keeping yourself spiritually fit. Thank you, sir. Keeping yourself spiritually fit. That means it's possible not to be spiritually fit. You work out every day. Every day. You follow all the basics when you come out. When you now come out, then people start throwing different things at you, things that will offend you. When they throw it out, you know how this weight carriers, they carry that thing. When they throw it out, you are right. Then you move on again. But that's not the end. They will add more weight to it. Then we carry again, they'll add more weight to it. But if they throw it at you, I'm talking about your love work, daily work now, and then you run away from it, that means you are not fit for the kingdom. Are you following me? Let us just move on. So, what are we saying? It says, verse 8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, Having what? The promise of a life that now is and of that which is to come. Let's take the first one that is little. The fact that it is little, I had to correct myself when I was getting ready, does not mean that we should not do it. The Bible says in Songs of said, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Godly exercise. Let's godly exercise. Profit little. Bodily exercise. Profit what? Little. But it should not be neglected. But I was coming, as a person who was going to preach, he just said something. He said that if you're, I just wrote it down, I asked him second time, I said, if you are physically weak, it's going to affect you spiritually. Don't deceive yourself. Not just exercise. The pastor has told us, in addition to exercise, you keep lots of hygiene, of medicine, and of rest. Even though it profits little, but lot little foxes that can spoil the vine or terminate the vine of spiritual growth through premature death. It is very little, though, but don't put it aside. You had better make sure that you do that little every day. You don't focus on it, but make sure you do that little. You know, you have essential and non-essential vitamins. Some are just little measures, but it's very important. Are you following me? So the best example is Elijah. Just 2 Kings chapter 13. He was anointed so much. Double portion. The Bible does not give the account of what actually happened, but we can hear it there. What does it say? 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Say, but Elijah was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. Straight. They buried the man and they put a dead body there. And it's like, let me just put it in a nice way. His works continue to live after him. Are you going to tell me that it is the will of God for Elijah to die without raising up somebody to replace him like Elijah did? Godly, bodily exercise profits little. But please do not ignore it. They are the little foxes that spoil the vine. So, I read again. It says, but godliness, spiritual training is possible unto all things, not some. Having two great promises, the promise of a life that now is, and that which is to come. You see, back on this bodily exercise that prophets little. You know, I read some time ago in F.F. Bosworth's book, he said that sickness is incipient death. When you start falling sick, you're beginning to die. So if you don't arrest the situation, either by resting, going to the hospital, doing everything you need to do to kick that thing out, fight it. Spiritually first, and then physically. Before you go to the hospital, pray, bind the devil, do everything. And once God restores your health, don't neglect bodily exercise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, where are we? It says, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. It's having the promise of a life that now is and of that which is to come. Say two promises, generally speaking. The promise of a life that now is and that which is to come. What are these promises? Let's look at the life that now is. The perfection and the fullness of Christ with the reward of inheriting the global glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:12, we quoted it earlier. You see, when you begin to practice, you know, godliness daily, exercising yourself, God that cannot lie has promised. He has promised that what he's going to do, he says he's going to give you his reward of his spirit that measure. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. You see, it's difficult for people to believe, but see, Sam, every morning I look at those scriptures, I begin to persuade myself. Every day I persuade myself. Abraham did that. He said he considered not his own dead body. So if he's not considering his own dead body, he's considering something else. He said he came to a place whereby he believed that God was able to perform what he has promised to do. So he had the power. Say, be fully. How did it happen one day? No wonder it took 25 years. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Let me tell you, God will never say what he will not do. Because we make him a liar, and he's not a liar. Once he has said it, believe me, he's going to do it. So the next promise of Israel, the second one is, which people are always running after and they neglect, this aspect of governance is the promise of material and physical and financial blessings. You see, if you put it simply, seek first the kingdom, all these other things, these material things that people are, the Gentiles are, and some Christian affliction are running after, God will bring them. But you see, beloved, that he may, I believe that he may prosper, you know, and being healthy, he also prosperous. Follow that key. So what is the promise of a life to come? The order of your resurrection and glory. The degree of the glorification of your resurrected body. We are not going to be the same. Somebody is doing an exam, preparing. He put his leg in the, inside water. Then you are going for party. They said, come and tell, give all of them a star, sir. It will be unjust. If it's the natural, they will not do that. Do you think God is, we will do that? That's why he said to his courage, he said, evil communication corrupt good manners. He said, you fools, Emma, go. You go for an exam and I give up with Esther. If you don't do it naturally, then God will do it. You see the foolishness. He said, be not deceived. That means a deception. That's why Satan is one behind the maturity. He says that to the girl, and says that those that will reign and rule with him. And the sphere of influence they cover. I don't have time to turn to scriptures. Pastor has taught us so much. Don't go to the website. Verse 9. You know, it says that this is a fatal sin and word of all acceptation. What does it mean by that? What he's been talking about godness is popular with all things. It is a fatal sin. He used the old verse to confirm it. Say, all I've been talking about, godness is profitable unto all things. It's a fatal sin and what? Worthy of all acceptation. Egbabe. You see, what are we saying? Let's back up to verse 8. Now, Bob begins to talk about what should be the focus of every Christian, which is getting a spiritual education in this life, which is godliness. I'm trusting God, by next time we come to this teach again, I will teach on pastors to make rhema. Godliness is profitable unto all things. It is important for you and I to get a spiritual education. Very important. Now that knowledge is made available, before you can say, I don't know, I didn't know. But now everybody knows. So what is godliness? Let's say godliness is God, shout it man, it is God likeness in both nature and character, in spirit, soul, that is your will, mind, emotions and body. It is both nature and character. Let's start from the spirit. When you got born again, God injected life into your spirit. That's what got you born again. You had this nature. Say, Romans 8 says that this body is dead, but the spirit has life because of righteousness. So you have eternal life in your spirit. It didn't stop there. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says that the Lord has shed his love abroad in your heart, your spirit. So you have nature in your spirit and the character in your spirit. But that's not just the beginning. Now God wants that nature and that character to be formed in your soul, your will, your mind, your emotions, to be formed in your body. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, as I continue. So I put in my notes that all born again Christians are like God in nature, Zoe, and character, love in their spirits. I've already mentioned the scripture, but they are not yet fully like God in nature and character, in their soul and body. Because of this condition, mind you, we are talking about godliness, it's profitable to all things. We are yet to experience or see the fullness of the profiting of godliness in spirit, soul and body. But the world and Christians are about to see the profiting that godliness brings in this lifetime, in this season of the Feast of Tabernacles, as men and women begin to manifest the ability of the mind of Christ. You see, you say, okay, I know this person. He's been doing this thing for a long time. Yeah, but I've not seen anything. Yet, yeah, the people are not doing it. He has put a condition there. Godliness. Not just in spirit, in soul, and in body. They now see the fullness of what godliness can do. So, and I put it here. I say, God is going to do it through saved souls. God wants to save your soul. Your soul is not yet saved. You're looking at me like I don't know what I'm saying. Yes, it's been saved. Thank you, sir. It's been saved. It's a process. And like that, the Bible says in Acts, it says in Him, it says together, in Him, we live when you get born again. We move Pentecost and have our being. Your being is in tabernacles. You're supposed to be moving in Pentecost. Don't stop. Keep moving. In him we live. When you get born again, in him you are moving. Keep moving. Don't tarry. What do you get where? Your being. I will not be satisfied, the Bible says, until I awake in his likeness. Keep moving. Romans chapter 10. Ah, God help me. No, let's read from 8. I think I have about 5 minutes to go. Help me. Romans 8. Pastor has been talking. You better be coming for these Wednesday meetings. 18. Romans 8, 18. I will just keep reading because of time. For I reckon. Let's begin. For I reckon that the sufferings, self-denial of this present time are not worthy. Let us read like you mean it. There's something in me. I'm not worthy. To be compared with what? The glory which shall be revealed in us. Your verse is through to Lord. Next verse. For the earnest expectation of a creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected them in hope. Next verse. Because, say it together for God's sake, because the creature itself all shall be delivered for the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. What causes corruption? The sin nature. Introduction of sin to the mankind. Next verse. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. You see, Pastor said it on Wednesday. The old creation is groaning. you and I, we are groaning, waiting for the redemption of our body. God himself is groaning to now begin to transmit. Go and read your Bible. Amplified. Talk about the Holy Spirit. Say he will transmit to you. He now begin to transmit part of that thing. That's what Paul's crying about. That means fellowship of your sufferings. That came not be there. Next verse. And not only there, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit. If you have the first fruits of the Spirit, put up your hand. Even we ourselves groan. It is clear that the first fruit of the Spirit from that scripture is to groan. Oh, it's obvious now. It's the only one. It's grown. Even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting what? For the adoption to which? The redemption of our bodies. Not glorification, but the redemption. The life of Christ being made manifest in this mortal flesh. Can you see groaning? It can't happen. It can never happen. Oh, come now. It can never happen. If you don't groan, it cannot. I know by revelation, as I'm screaming today, he cannot. Let me keep, oh my God, you see, some days ago, I woke up, I was weak. I was very tired. When I woke up, my normal Bible reading is in Psalm 30, verse 2. It says that I cried unto the Lord, and he healed me. Even in mock me, I used to see that, okay, David was crying because he was in problem. No, the Spirit of God, Paul spoke to me. He said, take it to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when they had offered prayers, strong crying, and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, save him from sickness, save him from poverty. It's going to take travail. David was not just crying. He wasn't crying like you're crying because you're in trouble. He was praying with travail. That's what God wants you to do when you begin to pray. The Bible says that if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall not maybe give life to your mortal bodies. That was what happened to Abraham and Sarah. All of a sudden they can't be going to change. Let's move on. I need to move on. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. 25. What does it say? Talking about waiting for the redemption to wit of our body. Yes. Next verse. Thank you, Jesus. Likewise, in the same way, also that the nations are groaning, that you are growing, spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Must it takes all together with against infirmities, sickness. It took our infirmities. When our infirmity begin to grow, it will take all with that. And it's not only you fighting that sickness. We begin to travel. Link the context. See the spirit that making itself for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. I'm getting to something. What does this say? For if when we were enemies, you are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more be reconciled now that you are born again. So not talking about those that are not born again. We shall be saved by his life. So which salvation is talking about? Salvation of the soul and the body. Now, let's just keep moving on. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I think I have a few more minutes to go. Paul, let's together now, your time to Lord. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness. We are talking about godliness. Next verse is continuation of it. In hope, say in hope. He wasn't talking about getting born again. Yeah, for God's sake, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. First John says that this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. You see, when you hear being conformed to his image, it's big, but it's very simple. It's take that same life as your spirit that you got born again with by faith. Use faith to push it through to heaven, from there into your body. Simple. Before you start imagining big miracles, just take it that simple. He said that a woman took level, put on 3 measures of meal until the whole was level. It's very simple. The gospel is simple. It's very simple. It's the gospel. In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, say God that cannot lie, promise in the hope of eternal life in your spirit, in your soul and body, that cannot lie. The promise that he has promised, even eternal life. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, as we begin to close. That is the promise. The promise is the promise of eternal life being made manifest in your soul and in your body. That is the promise. When you attend to that, then you'll be conformed to the image of Lord God. You can imagine Paul. He said that I may know him. He's not just in spirit, soul, and body. He was preaching one day, somebody fell down dead. He went there. He just lay on him, transmitted the life in his body to him. So yeah, you are part of the age to come. So open God. But he saw a generation that's going to bring it to pass. Where are we there? 6:12. That he be not slothful. Don't let's talk about slothfulness. That he be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God, Jacob. You see, don't follow those that don't prove faith and patience in your people. Now, it's clear. What promises faith that is the end of your faith is happening. So those that are following that, you follow them. And those that are following patience, it says that considering their faith at the end of their conversation, that conversion is love. So if they're not following the faith to save their soul and perfect them of God, don't follow them. Amen. Next verse. Help me, O Lord Jesus. For when God made a promise to Abraham, connect back to Titus. The promise has promised is eternal life, which God that cannot lie. He says the same thing. He promised to Abraham because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. Oh, the cow, long, long, long. Next verse. She's saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you. Next verse. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He gave back to Isaac at that level. What is the promise to us? Next verse. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is them the end of all strife. Next verse. Alombura. Wherein God willing more. Look at those words. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Next verse. These are strong things you need to meditate on. That by two, not one, immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Remember Titus said the hope of eternal life, that God cannot lie as promised. So keep thinking like that. Having eternal life is a spiritual and body. We might have a strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, which is sure and steadfast, which entereth within the veil. Amen. Wherein the forerunner for us is entered. Listen to me, guys. That hope did not enter into the outer court. He passed it. That hope did not stop in the holy place. He passed it. He said he entered within the veil. There are two meanings there. The veil speaks of your flesh. So if the hope is life, let that hope not only percolate your soul, it enter into your veil. Which hope we have as an anchor in the soul, which is sure and steadfast,
I tried it with the favor. Follow me. It says, disciples say, lay hold. It's a military something. Lay hold. Like Damu. Seize it. I didn't use the word reception. I suppose they said, we lay hold upon the hope by laying hold upon the hope of eternal life. Be made manifest in the soul and mortal body by faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Let's fight. 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 The good fight of faith. So it takes faith to fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Can you connect back to Hebrews? That hope you are laying hold of is the hope of eternal life being made manifest in your soul and your physical body. So I said, we lay hold upon the hope by laying on upon hope upon the hope of eternal life being manifest in our soul and body by faith. It's by faith. The same faith you've been used to get born again. That same faith is what you're going to use to lay hold on eternal life. It's the same faith. Oh, ye of little faith. It's the same faith. There's no magic about it. You see what I'm saying? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, it says that when you are called and professed a good profession, he puts it there. He said, when you're also called, that's your calling. The same thing. He said, when you are called, fight the good fight of faith. Lay on that life when you are called. It's the same that being called to be conformed to the image of God. It's the same thing. But it's not manifest. Next, let me as begin to round up. I need to stop. Hebrews chapter 6, I mentioned it. So that hope enters within the veil. Now, I'm going to stop. Some time ago, I was meditating on scriptures, Acts chapter 26, verse 8, I believe. And Lord spoke to me from that scripture when Paul was talking to Agrippa. Agrippa was finding it very difficult to believe that God could raise somebody from the dead. So he said something in Acts chapter 26. He said, why should it be taught? It is incredible with you that God should raise the dead. You know, Paul was like, excuse me, but don't like me. So, you mean you can't raise the dead? When people, all that pastor said, all these people that use juju or whatever, that have six hands, they appear and give them all kinds of incredible skills. So, is this something difficult for? Let me put it this way. That's what he says. Why should it be taught a thing incredible with you? That God Almighty should give you an incredible photographic memory, language learning skills, artistic skills, musical skills, abacons, mathematical skills. Why should you think it is incredible if they can teach you and can learn to a certain level? So why can't God teach you? Who taught them? Are you following my reasoning? So what are you trying to say? If they can teach you something and can learn it, why can't God teach you? Why do you think it's what I've been thinking upon since first I just open, I look at it. So, what are we saying? I'm going to stop. Help me. I give two examples that God gave me. Impossible situations from the Bible. Aaron's rod that budded. There was a controversy about who the person that God has chosen, like there is today. And God wants to settle the controversy with them. The example that God gave me. You know that people in Israel have been seeing Aaron's rod from the time in Egypt they came out. So as far as they were concerned, that rod is dead. It's like that wooden pulpit. The pastor used to preach. You see it year and year, year and year. Say whoever lives, say it's not possible. But when there's a controversy, God took, I take that pulpit, Aaron's word. They put it in the presence of God overnight. Suddenly, say they bought it and bought for almonds. So, think back. That we printed it brown, printed it black. As far as I'm concerned, in the natural, it cannot board. That's how they saw Aaron's rod, because they had seen Aaron walk with that rod up and down Israel, cross the Red Sea, enter into wilderness. God has said, okay, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. That rod is going to board. So everybody was like, okay, bring everybody's rod. Only Aaron's rod budded. Say, blood budded, both blossoms and almonds. I don't want to talk about that. Pastor speak about it. The second example I give is a negative example of when they provoke God. Why am I giving? It looks impossible. Pastor, I give an example of Mary that gave birth, you know, being a virgin, and Abraham and Sarah. So I'll give another example. That's the wrong word. Next example, because when the children of Israel were crying to God for flesh, we want flesh. So God went to Moses. Moses said, he went to God. God did not go to Moses. Please. Moses went to God, and he said, God, you just kill me. Am I the one that gave birth to all these people? Oh, they want to kill me. Just kill me. They are disturbing me for flesh. There's a lesson to learn there. Put number chapter 11, which from verse 18. God came. Moses did not believe. Can you imagine? He didn't believe him, that God could do it. What he says, and say thou unto the people, I've given you the background, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? And it was well with us in Egypt. Wherefore, the Lord will give flesh and shall eat in the wilderness. Next verse. While at it day. You shall not, now listen to God though. Say, you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor under 10 days, nor 20 days. Next verse. And do you know what the wilderness is? But even the whole month, until it come out at your noses, and it be lost someone to you, because that you have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt unto the promised land? Link it. Moses is not believable. Next verse. Incredible thing. And Moses said, the people among me, whom I am, are 600,000 footmen. That is, the soldier was 600,000. I know how soldiers eat. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh. It's incredible photographic memory. For a whole month. God is serious. Incredible. Shall the flocks, he begin to talk to God, shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Next verse. Yes, in natural. And the Lord said unto Moses, he said, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Said, is the Lord's hand waxed short? What is the right time of the Lord? Intercession. He said, will you hear me? Oh my God. Listen. Isaiah says, in Isaiah 59, he says that, it's the Lord, he said, your iniquities are set. He said, the hands of the Lord is not waxed short. He said, your iniquities have separated you. What is it? God is trying to say, look, the contractions, let them begin. Let them intensify. The hand of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. Let me keep reading. God was telling Moses, thou shalt see. Now, in this season of the harvest, whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Say, thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Next verse. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. You know what happened? When I was studying, God told me, gave me the scripture. It wasn't that God didn't want to give them. I'll quote the scripture so you can understand. Because you know what happened to them? He said, prosperity of fools shall destroy them. God was like, shall I give me a fair funini? But they live there, the only one of Israel. They can't furnish a table in the wilderness. Say, shall I give me a fair funini? You're not mature enough. Stop complaining before me. You think, you see, I cannot afford it. Okay, I will show you. 1 good month. Well, as it did. But while they were yet eating, the prosperity of fools destroyed them. They were not ready. They asked for what they should have asked when they entered the promised land. So you see why God has not kept his salvation reserved until the end time. And they gathered. Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord, and they gathered the 70 men of the elders of Israel and said around, blah, blah, blah. Let's just stop because of time. So how is this going to happen? By faith in not just God's ability, but by faith in his faithfulness to keep his word. That's a difference. Pastor Wally was sharing with someone I prayed the other day. You see, I know pastor can give me $30,000. But the question is in my heart, will he give me? I know that God is all powerful. But will he give me the ability of the man of Christ? These are the things we need to answer in our hearts. And those are the things that are hindering us from tapping into it. Say, hear me if you can. So I will. Don't doubt his faithfulness as his character. It is character we are talking about here. Not just his ability. I can have some. Look, the Bible says that if you see a brother that is hungry, will you close your bowels of mercy for me? Do you think God can do that? Say, if you bring down evil, You have to give good gifts to your children. Shall every father not give good gifts to them by asking? If you have a child and you go for an examination and you know the answer to the question, who do you teach it? So do you think God is going to keep quiet? If you then been evil, you have to give good things to your children. How much more shall my father have to give good to them by asking? Move your faith from God's ability to God's faithfulness. First Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 23. Lay hold. Now I said, lay hold by faith. Lay hold on eternal life. My God is not a wicked God. If he has said it, he will do it. That's why talking about in this same context, chapter 5. Verse 23, what happened? He said, beloved, put it on the board, this thing. And the very God of peace said together, sanctify you, holy, and I pray God, your what? Whole spirit, soul, and body, preserve blameless, or to come to Roger Christ. Next verse. What was he said, brethren? Faithful is that has called you. Who also will it? Do it. He's going to do it. I'm convinced in my bones he's going to do it. Last scripture. Sarah. The Bible says that Sarah, Hebrews chapter 11:11. He said, Pharaoh Sarah. The example says, Pharaoh, he judged God able. Nothing happened as he judged him able. He said, Pharaoh judged God faithful. He received strength. When he judged him, faithful. 25 years, they judged him able. But there came a season in his life when there was no hope against hope. When nothing else could do what God has promised to do. Then he told himself, my God, I don't have anything to lose again. If I perish, I perish. Father, you have said it. I believe you will do it. So the Bible records it. The reason why he got strength, said through faith. Also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, strength is life, and was delivered of a child when he was past age, because he was judged him faithful who has promised. Praise the Lord.
Give the Lord a super clap offering. Turn to them and say, judge God faithful. That's the bottom line. You know, when God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, according to the time of life, your wife will have a baby, they didn't believe at first. Because Abraham said, let Ishmael live in thy sight. don't let's push this thing, you know. And then God said the same thing he said here. He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Bible says Sarah heard it and she laughed. Then God went. You know, God left them. And after that incident, certainly they must have been thinking about it. See, thank God. Then the Bible says, and that's what we see in the book of Hebrews, he says she thought it through. We have to be thinking. That's another word for meditate. You need to meditate upon the scriptures. Forget what Pastor Luby said. Forget what Pastor Dewey said. Forget what Mommy said. Forget what Pastor Kwega said. You yourself, think it through. Think the thing through. Go to the scriptures and look at it yourself. Is God playing? Does it mean what he says? And then, like Pastor Jerry so beautifully said, is he faithful? Or is he a liar? The Bible says she judged. She came to a point in her meditations where she judged him faithful. And when she did, she received strength. You need to come to that point where you judge God faithful. And how do you get there? by looking at the word. Faith comes by hearing. That's why you pray, you listen. You know, like I've been sharing so much, so often in recent times about prayer. Prayer is communion. Yes, you're groaning and you're speaking in tongues, but at the same time, at the thought level, you need to be talking to God. And they think, God, I judge you faithful. I judge you faithful. I know what you have said, you're going to do it. That communication ought to be there. And the more you think about the scriptures, and the more you think on these things under the light of the Holy Spirit, the more you are convinced. Say, being fully persuaded. So it means persuasion starts and then it gets full. You are a little persuaded, but you're not yet fully persuaded. You're a little persuaded, but you're not yet fully persuaded. If you stay in the word, you will become fully persuaded. Now, as Pastor Boyd Dewey was ministering this morning, I was so blessed. You know, and you know, God's been speaking to me about some things in my own life, and you know, things that are going on, and this manifestation of songs of God, and it looks as if things are delayed and stuff like that. And just today, but yesterday and today, you know, I've been waiting on the Lord. God was speaking to me. So when I now came to church and decided to preach these things, you know, it was just a perfect confirmation. God is faithful. God is faithful. But you have to be fully persuaded. And the way you get fully persuaded is go and check the scriptures. And check, compare scripture with scripture. Check what God has said. And then you will come to the inescapable conclusion that God is faithful. You know, I was in Elisha on Friday. I went to preach for Brother John Ladigan and Ma Elton and some of the ministers, you know, and I was preaching these same things. And the way it came out, you know, I'm going to use that to conclude, is I personally am fully convinced now. I'm fully persuaded. And I preached this in church to hear, you know, the God who filled me with the Holy Spirit and allowed the power of God to be manifested through my tongue, one member, I am fully persuaded that he can manifest that same power through the rest of my body. I have thought it through. I have meditated on it. I have seen the experience. This is not something somebody told me. It's not even something that happened 2,000 years ago on the book of Acts. It happened to me. So the God who did that one, he can do the rest. I am fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. And that's the difference between Pentecost and Tabernacles. Pentecost is power manifest through one member. Tabernacles is power manifest through all members. Stand to your feet. And the scriptures do not keep us in darkness. I like the Bible because it's very explicit. Paul, thank God for Paul. You know what he said? He said that the life of God may be made manifest in your mortal flesh. He didn't say tongue alone. The tongue is a part of your flesh. And he said that the life of God be made manifest in your, and he said it twice, so that there will be no confusion about, you know, whether he meant it or not, that the life of God be made manifest in your mortal flesh. In Romans chapter 8, he says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall give life, not to your resurrected body, to your mortal body. I am fully persuaded. You need to go back yourself under the Holy Spirit, and if you're persuaded but you're not yet fully persuaded, you need to get yourself fully persuaded. Get and look at the scriptures, pray in tongues, look at the scriptures, let the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and say, it's impossible for God to lie, and he's a good God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm fully persuaded that this truth is that of the manifestation of the sons of God, the life of God made manifest in our mortal blood, is not cunningly divisible. It's true. Thank you.
It's true.
Thank you.
It's true. And we have the first fruits. We have the earnest. So we are guaranteed the rest of the deposit.
Moses couldn't believe that God could provide meat for 3 million people in the wilderness for one whole month.
And I understand all of us fall into the same trap. He was thinking naturally. He thought about it.
He said, okay, if we kill all the sheep and all the goats, it
won't be enough.
You know, that's why you see, you must not limit your thinking to the natural.
Hey, he said, if we kill all, he said, okay, maybe I send some of the brethren, Joshua and some of the, let them go to some pools around and fish. And then let's if we get some fish and we kill all the, and you know, that's what you all of us always do. When you are faced with a problem, you start thinking of all the natural solution.
Pastor Jay didn't finish it, but I will finish it. He said, an east wind. What happened on the day of Pentecost? There was a mighty and a wind. The power of God. Hallelujah. He said, and an east wind. God used a wind to blow chickens and fowl from all over. He carried them through the sky and brought them to where they were camped and dropped it. They had so much chicken, they didn't know what to do with it.
Say, is anything too hard for the Lord? That same God is inside you. His power is inside you. Don't limit him. Don't think in the natural only. Always go beyond the natural and say, ah. He says, an east wind. He said, he dropped the fowls all over the camp. He said, and while the food was still in their mouth, he slew the fattest of them. God was so angry.
Shepherd Jeoni. Ajekuya, as they say. As you will eat and the food will kill you. But it's not the will of God. But you know, they provoked him. Don't let's provoke God, though. With unbelief. To say that God can't do this or God can't do that. There is nothing God cannot do. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Everybody talk to God.
You have only one assignment this morning. Become fully persuaded that He is faithful. Become fully persuaded that He is faithful. If you're not sure in your heart, just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, fellowship and commune with me. Reveal the reality of your word to me and bring me to the place where I am fully persuaded that you are faithful. Fully persuaded that God is faithful to do what He has said He will do. He's not a bad God. He's faithful. Faithful. He's brought you to this point. He will finish what He has started. You just keep connected to Him. Sarah reconnected. She didn't believe at first, but she reconnected. Abraham, they reconnected. And that's another great truth that has established me. And I shared it with us. The same way God gave life to the dead bodies of Abraham and Sarah to give birth to Isaac, He is going to give life to our physical members to give birth to the manifestation of the fullness of the Son of God. And we will be here and we will see it. Like God told Moses, He said, you don't believe, eh? He said, you will see it. You will see it. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Faithful God.
Faithful God,
all sufficient one,
all sufficient one,
we
shalom or peace.
Strong deliverer,
a strong deliverer. We lift you high.
You
sing it to him.
Raise the other one to God. As we respond, see, the word of God always demands a response. God has spoken, now you respond. We're going to pray together collectively, but I want you in your own heart now to tell God, God, I thank you for bringing this word. And my response is, like Mary, behold the handmaid of the Lord, of the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I judge you faithful. I judge you faithful. I will fight the good fight of faith. I will pray in the spirit. I will fast. I will all the things you told me to do. I will practice them. And I will lay hold on this hope that is set before me. Tell him. Judge him faithful. Thank you, Lord. Say, Father, we confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief and not trusting in your faithfulness. And we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you brought to me this morning through your servant, that we should judge you faithful to do what you have said, giving life not only to our spirit, but to our minds, wills, emotions, and physical body, causing your life, your ability, and your character to be made manifest in this lifetime through our mortal flesh for all the earth to see. Father, I believe. Father, I judge you faithful to do what you have said. Like you said to Moses in the wilderness, that your hand is not short. It's not waxed short. And I trust that your hand will not be short in my life, in my situation concerning this. I judge you faithful in Jesus' name. Zofriala Joshua. Check out those kefrenes in Jesus' name. As we're praying, the Lord gave me a word. I'm going to leave that word with you. It will be a word of light and guidance moving forward. Nobody knows the day or the hour that this manifestation will begin. The Spirit has been released. I shared that about 2 years ago. That I have no doubt about. I even see evidence of that in my prayer life. So that the Spirit has been released is not the issue. The issue now is the manifestation. And if the Lord Jesus himself did not know the day, and he didn't, when he woke up that morning and he was going to the wedding in Cana of Galilee with his disciples, he had no idea that miracles were going to start that day. He didn't know. And if he didn't know, the day you wake up that is going to happen, you won't know. It will come suddenly. But how are you going to be prepared? That's the issue. Moving forward, how do we move from where we are now to when the manifestation begins? I got the word from the Lord. I'm going to give it to you. And they continued in prayer and supplication with one accord. It was all those who continued in prayer and supplication in one accord that when the suddenly came, got it. You get it. Continue. Ever say continue in prayer and supplication with one accord, and you get it. God bless you. Hallelujah.